This is Freedom First, and I'm Jeffrey Tucker. Today I'd like to talk to you about an implausible topic, admittedly. It is laundry and the problems that Americans are having with their laundry. Now, the Biden administration continues to intensify its regulations on washing machines and on dryers and really on everything. And the new regulations are just like the old regulations. This has really been going on for decades. These bureaucrats just won't let up. They just, every time they get a chance, every time there's a president who gives them the green light, they tighten the regulations and give more instructions to the manufacturers and more restrictions on the consumers and more mandates on everything and everybody. In this case, we're talking about something that profoundly affects our lives, whether and to what extent our clothes get clean. That's pretty important. We haven't had clean clothes in decades, I would argue, actually, because of the degradation of the washing machines that have taken place. And it's going to happen again. So if you haven't bought your new washing machine, run out and get it. You're going to spend a lot of money and get a very expensive model to find one that even works, and you'll be lucky if you do. You're probably better off buying a used machine or going to the scrap yard and finding an old one and get it repaired. If you can, repair it yourself. That's how bad it's gotten. So let's start at the beginning, though, with the whole washing machine question. Now, about a century ago, people tended to wash their clothes in big tubs of boiling hot water with good laundry soaps. And those laundry soaps included phosphates, which are the thing that break down the soap and wash it away and carry away the dirt and the grime and so on. And moms were experts in this, and we knew how to do these sorts of things. Washing was just a big part of the domestic chores. And we had scrubbers and washers and dryers and all the things we needed. But it was very time-consuming. And the clothes are clean, but very, very time-consuming and a troubling job. So with the advance of capitalism, starting in the 1930s, and especially during and immediately following World War II, we got these new wonderful things called washing machines. You just open up the lid, you put all your clothes in, you put in your detergent, push a button, and like magic, it was washed, and then you would hang dry it. And then we got dryers, and we would dry the clothes in the dryers rather than having clotheslines. And that's the way things stood. And a lot of times, the fabrics in America began to adapt themselves to this new machine wash and dry system. So that's when we got new polyester fabrics, the pantsuit came into fashion. The men were wearing leisure suits, a regrettable moment in men's fashion, I admit, that were wash and wear, and so on. And that was going to be the way it was going to go. Aside from all the fake petroleum products that became clothes, the crucial thing was cottons. That's what we were mainly concerned about, whites, cottons, getting those things clean, underclothing in particular. Then sheets and towels. And napkins from the dinner table. Those are the kind of things that really, really matter. But it worked. We had a wonderful system. The machines were big, and they held tons of water. The water was very hot. The detergents worked, and the dryers worked. And that's where things stood until the 1980s. There was a new fashion that came into politics for saving, conserving water. And the idea was to crack down on households and how much water the machines use. Now, in the scheme of things, and early on, it wasn't that big a deal. We're talking about 34 years ago, 40 years ago, these regulations started coming about, just gradually a little bit at a time. And it wasn't that big a deal because it didn't really hurt the laundry that much. But, you know, the priority was always wrong. No matter how you look at it, the energy use of washing machines and dryers in the household is just nothing compared with the energy overall. It's just a tiny percentage. And the same with water use, too. It takes up a very small percentage of the overall nation's water supply. The big expenditure, of course, is in agriculture, not in your life. But, you know, bureaucrats love to make your life miserable in whatever way and to impress upon us the importance of conserving things. So conserving energy, conserving water became the goal of the central plan that began to govern the construction of washing machines. About a decade later, sometime in the 1990s, there was another thing hit us. And all these things just sort of gradually accumulated over time. But we had, in this country, with no announcement and really very little discussion, a ban on the phosphates in detergents. Now, phosphates are the thing that break down the soap and whisk it away in the rinse cycle. Without the phosphates, the soap stays in the clothes, and it's very hard to get it out. By the way, this is also true of dishwashers, too. That's why for a very long time, until I guess manufacturers figured it out, or maybe detergent companies figured it out, your glasses were spotty and you couldn't get them closed. Maybe that's still true for you. Phosphates used to be in those detergents. Well, with one just sweep of regulation, it began in California, it was adopted by various states to get rid of phosphates, and then finally federal regulation. American laundry detergents no longer had phosphates in them. And I promise you, you cannot buy any detergent in this country with phosphates. Now, if you go to Mexico, the detergent has phosphates. If you go anywhere in Europe, the detergent has phosphates. But in this country, they're not there. Again, no announcement. I understand manufacturers didn't want to suddenly announce, oh, your detergent doesn't work. You know, it's going to stay in your clothes. It's going to clean your clothes, but it's not going to, you're not going to get rid of the detergents. It's just going to be a mucky mess. And by the way, the ban on phosphates is a problem even for things like rug cleaners. You know, that's why when you invite the rug cleaner company to come over and clean your rug, it looks good for about 2 months and suddenly it's dirtier than ever. It's because the detergent is not sucked out of the rug. And so detergent naturally attracts dirt, so it looks dirtier than ever. Good for the rug cleaning companies, I guess, because then you have to invite them back and back. But it's a disaster. Detergent's supposed to have phosphates. Now, why did they get rid of the phosphates? Well, the phosphates were spilling into the rivers and causing algae to grow, which was choking out the fish population. Now, people who have looked at this claim carefully have discerned and decided that if this is a problem at all, maybe in a few isolated spots, but if it is a problem, it's due to the fertilizers used by big agriculture. That's where the real problem is. It has nothing to do with your household detergent. That's not what clogging the lakes and rivers. It makes it only the smallest little contribution to the problem. If we had controlled the fertilizer runoff and the water runoff off big ag, you know, poisoning our commons, that would have been a better solution. But of course, they never take the better solution. They always go after the consumer and the household to make our lives more miserable. So the phosphates were eliminated. That was a major, major degradation of the cleanliness of American laundry. I will just tell you, cut to the chase, on this narrow point, there is a fix for this, for now. You can go to your local hardware store and go to the paint section. Now, every painter knows that when you paint a wall, the wall has to be perfectly clean, has to be free of all dirt and all oil and be flawless before you paint it, or else the paint's going to start peeling and cracking and falling off within a year or two. So painters are really emphatic about really clean walls, and every painter knows that you mix the detergent with trisodium phosphate, or what's called TSP, the real stuff, not fake TSP, which I saw that marketed on the shelves recently. Well, I don't know what that is. But genuine TSP actually cleans for painters when they're painting walls. Well, you can use that exact same product for your laundry and, for that matter, for your dishwasher, too. Or, for that matter, if you'd like to clean your own carpets at home, you can mix that into the detergent, too. And you get rid of this problem of leaving the soap in the things you're trying to wash, thereby attracting more dirt than ever. So this is a fixable problem. Again, big box stores will mostly carry TSP. You'll find it in the paint section. It's not expensive. You add, you know, an eighth or a quarter of a cup to your load of laundry. I guarantee you that you will notice a difference. It should be an essential additive again. It's not in the laundry section. You have to get in the paint section. Sorry to report this to you. By the way, not every hardware store carries it. I remember going into some one fashionable, you know, upscale town and going to a hardware store and asking for TSP. And they responded to me like, you know, as if I was some sort of right-wing Trump supporter asking for GSP. They said, oh, no, that's bad for the environment. We don't have that here. Oh, okay, great. I'll remember not to come back here again. But most of the time, the stories carry TSP, and you can even get it on Amazon. I think maybe there's some states that restrict it, but mostly it's still available. Again, I don't know how long this is going to be true, but it's true for now. But when they degraded the laundry soap, there were other things that happened, too. The amount of water that a washing machine was allowed to use for the full cycle became restricted by federal law. They kept getting smaller and smaller and using ever less energy. So they weren't swirling the clothes around enough. They weren't really agitating the clothes to get them clean. The water kept shrinking and shrinking. Nowadays, it's just terrible. The standards are so restrictive, you can't really use any water. And so God bless private enterprise, they're trying to work around this. So a number of things happened. One was we got these front-loading dishwashers that use gravity to swirl the water around more. That's why they're front-loading, because the water sloshes up and then goes down, sloshes up and then goes down. Front-loading washing machines are designed to use much less water. They do not get things as clean. But, again, the manufacturers did their best with the restrictions they had. I think you can still get large capacity washing machines. Certainly they're available for commercial institutions. You might be able to get them for your house, but you have to look. Just how much water they use is really important. And then in addition to that, the energy use, right? So you've got that problem. But between all these things, we saw the laundry getting ever more degraded. Your clothes are simply just not as getting as clean as they were in the past. So people start buying new products. Now, when I was a little boy, the laundry room had a gigantic washing machine, a gigantic dryer, and one thing, soap. And nowadays, you go to a laundry room, you find all kinds of special products, like spot removers, and this additive, and this cleaner, and this towelette, and this substance, and all sorts of products that you buy, and none of which really work. And they're all designed to fix the problem. And then there became this big fashion, which I understand why it existed, of putting bleach into your clothing, because that's the only way to get it white. Now, I'm telling you, this is no solution. In fact, it's a disaster. If you're adding bleach, and I've seen these washing machines that say on them, here's where you put your bleach. I mean, just do not do that. You can do it if you want your clothes to degrade and fall apart in 6 months. Bleach is a catastrophe for all cotton clothing, for really all clothing. Bleach is terrible for them. Maybe not in short exposures, 2 or 3 minutes. That's like, for example, if you have a pair of tennis shoes you need to wash that need to get white again, or you've got a spot on a towel you otherwise can't get out, and you've tried all the other solutions, like salt works, vinegar works, hydrogen peroxide can work. If none of that works, then you can soak it for 2 or 3 minutes in hot water with bleach, and it's guaranteed it'll get rid of it. But you are degrading your clothes slightly. Sometimes it's necessary, sometimes it's worth it to do it, but you never, ever want long exposure like 30 minutes or an hour soaking in bleach. It's a catastrophe. So this was no solution, although I think it's very common based on the amount of bleach that the stores seem to sell these days. This is all to get around, again, federal regulations that degraded the washing machines, restricted the amount of water in them, and degraded the detergents so they no longer had phosphates in them. First time in hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, where we use detergents without phosphates, and of course they don't clean. Then you have the other additional problem, which is hot water itself. The hot water heaters, starting about, I would say, about 20 years ago, and then 15 years ago, and they've gotten ever more intense, started coming with the highest temperature, max temperature on hot water's at 110. Now, I'm a baker. I like to bake bread. That is exactly the temperature you want the water that you're mixing with the yeast to get at, because that's where yeast grows the most, at 110, okay? That is not hot. It's not hot. It's warm to the touch. And it's perfect for yeast. It's terrible for everything else. You cannot get your clothes clean at 110. So in the old days, you could get a hot water heater shipped at 110, but you could go in with a screwdriver and crank it up to 120, 130, 140, 145. That's a good hot temperature. So that it's, you do not want to touch it, so it's kind of scalding when it's coming out, and that's the way things used to be. But for reasons of safety, and also for making your life miserable, and for making your clothes dirty, making everything dirty so that nothing gets clean, the regulators started lowering and lowering and lowering the temperatures. More recently, we have hot water heaters being shipped in a way that you can't even control the temperature. So it's a problem. It's a serious problem. I have a friend, he has a gigantic stew pot for cooking gigantic stews and soups, and like 2 gallons or something like that, and he boils 2 gallons of hot water and pours it into his washing machine just to get the water hot enough. It's a smart thing to do, but what an annoyance. I mean, we're really going back in time. So it's difficult. It's very difficult to figure out how to get your clothes clean these days. In addition to that, you have the problem that ever since the machine was invented, people don't know really how it is that clothes get clean. Like, what does it mean to wash clothes? Well, I can tell you there are basically 3 steps. And you learn this if you do it by yourself without a machine in a bathtub. You figure this out. The first stage is to fill the water with TSP and soap and lots and lots and lots of water, and put your detergent in there, then dump your clothes in, and the water should be too hot really to put your hands in, so you just let the clothes soak, just let them soak, and then and that should go on for 20 or 30 minutes, just let them sit there, during which time the water goes from very hot to warm to tepid, and then cool. There's no reason to get it all the way to cool, but tepid temperature. And then you go in and you start mashing it and scrubbing off the stains and finding little stains and treating them out and mixing it around and scrubbing it. You just use your hands as the agitating brushes, essentially. And then drain it. Squeeze out as much water as you can from whatever's left. Now, with the trisodium phosphate in the detergent will break down and go away with the water. You see how this works? So your clothes are basically clean right now, but they need a rinse. So then you drain all the water, and then you put on a nice, good, cold water rinse. And the reason for the cold water is so that you can tell by touching the clothes what has been rinsed and what hasn't been rinsed. The cold clothes have been rinsed. The still warm clothes haven't been rinsed yet. So that's how you tell. Drain that, wring everything out, hang it up. That's how you do laundry. I recommend you do this. I suggest this to you so that you know how it is that clothes come to be clean. Unfortunately, as I say, the machines are teaching us not to know things because they do things for us. But there is a reason things happen. There is a reason clothes get clean. Now, I'm going through all this because there is a tremendous amount of confusion about laundry today, and weirdly, it's become political in some weird way. And the very reliably annoying New York Times, about 5 years ago, I'm going to say, ran some big article about laundry. And I thought, oh, speaking as a laundry expert, I will look into this. Wouldn't you know? Everything in the article is wrong. Always wash everything in cold water. Use as little soap as possible. Why is that? Well, because you don't have anything to get rid of the soap once you put it in, so you can't use much. That's why they recommend only using a teaspoon of soap. Use as little water as possible to make sure it's cold. And, this was the kind of advice they're giving. I'm looking at this thinking, are they just trolling us? I mean, who wrote this article? And does the person know anything about laundry, or is he just reflecting the, or did the Department of Energy or some bureaucrat write this? I don't know. So there's a lot of confusion. Basically, to get your clothes clean, you need a lot of water. The water's got to be very hot. you've got to have detergent, and that detergent has to have phosphates, and the clothes need to be scrubbed and agitated by some machine or by your hands. That's the way to get them clean. Now, let's just touch on the question of drying. I can tell you this. There is no machine in the world that can substitute for the sun, for an air-dried, sun-kissed piece of clothing. It's a natural bleach. I don't even like to say that because I hate bleach so much. But it's a natural whitener. It whitens everything. It's beautiful. It's good for the clothes. It keeps them healthy and keeps them fresh. And there's nothing like a nice breeze to clean clothes. Now, unfortunately, clotheslines these days are, for some reason, because we're strange people, associated with being low class and poor. This probably dates from history, right? I mean, because once we got dryers, then fancy people had dryers and trashy poor people had to have clotheslines. It's something like that. We're such strange people, the way we identify these cultural traits with technology. But anyway, it's wrong. The best way to dry your clothes is on a clothesline. Unfortunately, in fashionable subdivisions and many towns around the country, and probably in your own apartment unit, or maybe in your own homeowner's covenant that you signed, it forbids you from using a clothesline, which is tragic. Maybe you can figure out a way to find some sunlit part of your house and sneakily hang up a clothesline and hang your socks up there. I don't know. But I can just tell you, there's no substitute for it. It's a problem in winter. It's a problem if you don't have direct sunlight. It's certainly a problem if you don't have a yard. But that's the best way. If you have and also, by the way, it's difficult to dry sheets in a small space because those are very big. So it's tricky. Ideally, what you want is a large yard with a big clothesline, two made out of metal to use all year round. That would be the ideal. But as I say, that's considered, tacky and fashionable or something. I don't understand it, but there it is. That's the best dryer. The machine dryers are being degraded ever more. They run ever less long, they're ever smaller, they blow ever less air. And this has always been true with machine dryers, they destroy your clothes. I'm just telling you, it's true. You know that thing in your dryer that they call lint? You pick it out of the lint basket and you scoop it in and you go, wow, that's a lot of lint. And you throw it in the trash. Oh, good thing I got that lint out of there. You know what the lint is? The lint is your clothes. That's what lint is. It's your clothes. It's your clothes falling apart. Your clothes being degraded. That's what electric dryers do to your clothes. I'm sorry to report it to you. There's no way to get around it. It just is what it is. I'm just telling you the ideal versus the existing realities that we're faced with. Nothing can improve on a clothesline. I'm sorry. There just isn't any improvement on it. If you have to use machines, you're going to use a machine, and that's just the way it is. It's not ideal, but that's just the way it is. So some of this is fixable, like adding phosphates. Being careful not to get rid of your old washing machine. Keep it repaired as long as possible. Always use the setting for the most water you possibly can. Maybe add some boiling water into the washing machine. These things can help, and you'll get, cleaner clothes. Since this is a show about laundry, I feel like I need to say something about this, although it's obvious. You do need to separate your colors from your whites. That's it. And there are some clothes that are considered too gentle. Usually they're silks or woolens that you want to do by hand. But that's great. Doing hand laundry is wonderful. So I will add a slightly eccentric and strange note here. I actually believe that the single best way to clean your clothes is by hand. In a bathtub, in a tub, it's the best way. I know that sounds primitive, but it's the best way to clean. Nothing gets quite as clean as when you do it yourself. It's very strange that we even have to talk about this subject. And it makes me furious. It's actually highly significant. There are certain technologies that we associate with American prosperity, right? The car, the gas-guzzling car, the station wagon, washers and dryers, dishwashers, garbage disposals. And that's a subject for another time. Those are degraded, too. You won't be surprised. But these are the things that, during the Cold War, meant that Americans were prosperous, that we shared this prosperity all across all demographics, that our system of government, of democracy, you know, ruled by the people, for the people, applied not just to politics, but also to economics. Everybody would share in this prosperity, the washing machine, the refrigerator, the car, the two-car garage, the house. These were all the symbols of it. And if you think about it, every one of these things is under attack. Renting's better than buying these days for most people, most young people, even wealthy young professionals with two jobs cannot afford a house these days. The internal combustion car is gradually being phased out by force and being replaced with electric cars that are going to crash the grid and lead to electricity rationing and force you to live in a 15-minute city. Our refrigerators are breaking down because the energy restrictions are so tight that they can't run both freezers, refrigerators, and ice makers and front water dispensers and everything else. So, you know, they've got a life of 5 years, whereas your grandmother's refrigerator lasted 30. It's an attack on everything. Your garbage disposal doesn't work as well as it once did. Your dishwasher has to run for 2 hours with little drips to vaguely, you know, sweep away the debris from the dishes and leaving spots. But it never hits more intimately and personally and visually and aesthetically than it does when speaking about washing machines, because quite frankly, our clothes just aren't getting clean. There are things you can do about it. You can't do everything about it. The ultimate answer is to reverse the priorities. This obsession with saving water and saving electricity at our expense while letting big corporations spoil the commons by using as much as they want has really got to stop. It's a consequence of captured agencies and the corporatist system of a combine of big government and big business all working not only just to rob your paycheck and regulate your life, but also, as it turns out, even ruin your household appliances. Well, thank you for listening to my long soliloquy on laundry. As you undoubtedly know, this is all part of a very long, decades-long government-based war on so many consumer products, from our food to medicine to light bulbs and cars and electricity and toasters and garbage disposals, refrigerators, everything else you can think of. And now it's profoundly affecting our laundry. Then it becomes very, very personal. There are things you can do. You can become an expert in laundry yourself. I'm afraid that this is where we're headed. Who knows? What happens if they start rationing electricity and you still have to get your clothes clean? It's a good time to figure it out for yourself more and more. You have to have knowledge, like personal knowledge, technical knowledge, practical knowledge about how to live your life if you intend always to put freedom first. This is Jeffrey Tucker.